الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah azza wa jal to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. The one whom Allah Azza wa Jal guides, none can lead astray. And the unfortunate individual whom Allah Azza wa Jal lets to go astray, none can guide. The best of speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance that which our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. The worst of matters are the newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter is an innovation. And every innovation is a misguidance. And every misguidance is in the fire of Jahannam. May Allah azza wa jal save us all from the fire of Jahannam. Ameen. O slaves of Allah, O children of Adam, first and foremost I advise myself and then all of y'all who are present here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to fear Allah Azza wa Jal during every single second of our lives. To fear Him and to be conscious of Him if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, a very famous hadith. The hadith is known as the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. Umar radiyallahu anhu, he narrates the hadith. Baynama nahnu julusun inda rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam thata yawm. One fine day, the narration goes along the lines of these words. One fine day we were seated. Umar radiyallahu anhu narrates, one fine day we were seated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. اطلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر. Suddenly a man emerges. They were seated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a gathering. Allahu Akbar, what a great opportunity to sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whilst they were seated, suddenly a man emerges. And look at the observance of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alaihi majma'in. They were so observant. Look at the vivid detail Umar radiyallahu anhu gives us in regard to the man who approached the gathering. Look at the details. A man approached the gathering. He was wearing sparkling white clothes. Shadidu bayadi thiyab. Sparkling white clothes. And he had jet black hair. Allahu Akbar. A man approaches the gathering. He was wearing sparkling white clothes and he had jet black hair. Now the gathering, all of them had seated. This man, instead of coming and sitting at the back, he went straight up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he sat by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam in a strange way. And Umar radiyallahu anhu went on to say, لا يعرفه منا أحد. None of us knew this individual. We could see no signs of fatigue. We could see no signs of him being tired or after a journey. Because unlike today, in those days, you had to travel horseback, muleback. You had to cross deserts. So if an unknown individual were to suddenly come to a gathering, he would have to come in a very disheveled manner, because unless he would have come the day before, taken some rest and then freshened himself up and then came to the gathering. But this was not the case with this individual, because this was the first time the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in was seeing this individual. So they were shocked. From where did he come from? And he is so crisp, clean and smart. He comes straight to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sits by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. He sits by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And look at the way he sat. He sits in a way that his knees were touching the knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he placed his hands on his thighs, and now an amazing dialogue begins between the two, between this man and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhbirni anil Islam. Tell me about Islam. Akhbirni anil Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he now answers. As we go further in the narration, my dear brothers in Islam, we will realize that this man was none other than Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. He had come and he was asking questions from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intention of teaching the Sahaba as well as the Ummah at large, teaching us Adeen. Allahu Akbar, Adeen. So he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, akhbirni anil Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went on to say, Al-Islamu an tashhada an la ilaha illa Allah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Islam is to bear witness that there is no deity, there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to clarify the five pillars of Islam. Secondly, you're supposed to establish salah, fast the month of Ramadan, and pay out zakah, fast the month of Ramadan, and perform pilgrimage to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal if you have the capability to do so. Five pillars of Islam. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, scholars rahimahumullah explain in regard to this narration, and there are other narrations too where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words, Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. The one who verbalizes, the one who utters the kalima will enter Jannah. So you and I, we might wonder, if it is so easy, then we just profess the kalima and we fly into Jannah. Why do we have to strive so much? Why do we have to strive in terms of good deeds? Well, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, there are certain conditions that need to be fulfilled in regard to the kalima. If you fulfill these conditions, then you become eligible to enter Jannah. Yes, indeed, the kalima is the key to paradise. It is the key to Jannah. Just as how once an individual went to a scholar and he asked the scholar, the kalima is the key to Jannah. So if I have the key to Jannah, why can't I enter Jannah? From where did these conditions come from? Now these conditions, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is from the Quran and from the Sunnah, from the authentic teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this particular scholar, rahimahullah, he went on to explain, yes, the kalima is the key to Jannah, but it is a blank key. I'm sure most of you all know what a blank key is. When you go to the locksmith, when you go to a key cutter, he has many blank keys. When you give him a key, he will cut the key on that blank key and give it back to you. So with a blank key, you can't open anything. You can't open anything. At times, it won't even enter a lock because it has no teeth. It has no bittings on that key. So this scholar, rahimahullah, went on to explain that if you fulfill the conditions of the kalima, then those conditions are the teeth of that key. Those conditions are the bittings of that key. And then the key to Jannah will form and you will be able to enter Jannah. So what are these conditions? Scholars, rahimahumullah, they explain that there are seven conditions in regard to the kalima. Seven conditions, very important conditions. I have been talking about this for the past few days because it is of utmost importance that we understand these conditions. At times we believers, we don't understand the magnanimity of the kalima, La ilaha illallah. We think the minute we utter it like a parrot, that is it. There is no life that we need to live in regard to the kalima. But no, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, Jannah is not cheap. The price for Jannah is very expensive. Therefore, if you fulfill these conditions, that's when you will enter Jannah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us all from the people of Jannah. So condition number one is al-ilm. Condition number one is al-ilm. Ilm in the sense knowledge. As we all know, our deen is knowledge based. We need to seek knowledge. Knowledge, seeking knowledge is obligatory upon each and every one of us. But now what type of knowledge am I talking about here? Knowledge about Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. فَعْلَمْ, know that there is no God, there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. So this knowledge, this ilm, consists of two parts, nafi and ithbat. Don't worry, it's not going to get too complex or too technical. It's very easy, and I will explain as I go, inshallah ta'ala. Nafi and ithbat. In other words, if you were to translate it, negation and affirmation. Look at the kalima, La ilaha illallah. So the first part of the kalima, it's part of the knowledge, first part of the kalima, you negate, La ilaha. There is no God. Now if you put a full stop there, then that becomes a dangerous statement. You have become an atheist. If you put a full stop there, if you say there is no God, you are completely denying the existence of a creator, of a maker. But we believers, we don't do that. We negate. We don't associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We free and purify our hearts completely. We negate and then affirm. Illallah, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the kalima is of two parts. La ilaha illallah, where you negate and you affirm. You negate completely that there is no partner whatsoever to Allah Azza wa Jal, and then you affirm that it is Allah who is the one and only God. He is the one and only God. So scholars rahimahumullah, they explain that there are four matters that you need to negate. Four matters. Number one being Aliha. You negate that there is no other deity, no other God worthy of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one, you negate that there are no gods other than Allah azza wa jal. There is no other God. It is Allah alone. He is the one and only creator. So number one, Aliha. Number two, Tawagheed. You negate any other person, perhaps, who claims divinity, who claims that he knows matters of the unseen. Say for example, Fir'aun. He came about and he started to say that I am God, worship me. We negate all individuals of that nature. And today you have certain fortune tellers, certain soothsayers. They tell you, you know, I know the future. I know what will happen to you next month. I know what will happen to you in 1 year's time. These are all people who are trying to claim divinity, because it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows the matters of the unseen. It is Allah alone. He is alamul ghuyub. He is the one who knows matters of the unseen. No one else knows. Not even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In regard to the day of Qiyamah, in this same hadith, in this very hadith towards the end, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Akhbirni ani sa'a. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me about the last day, about the judgment day. Akhbirni ani sa'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answers, Mal mas'oolu anha bi'a'lama min as-sa'il. The one who is being questioned knows no better than the questioner. The one who is being questioned Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows no better than the questioner who is Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. In other words, the best of angels, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, and the best of mankind, the best of the prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both of them are on the same level in regard to the knowledge of the day of Qiyamah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows when the day of Qiyamah will take place. So we are supposed to negate all of these people who try to claim divinity. It can be anybody. If he says, I know the matters of the unseen, you are wrong. It is only Allah Azza wa Jal who knows matters of the unseen world. Next in line to negate, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is Andad. And this is translated as rivals. Rivals who distance you from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that can even be your family at times, your wealth, your children, your spouses. If they distance you away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to free your heart. You must not be devoted to them so much to the extent that you start disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, that you start disobeying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, is Arbab, in the sense, people who start giving out decisions opposing the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that can even be a scholar. If he were to decree against the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can be a ruler, it can be anyone. We free our hearts from such individuals and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back to the conditions of the kalima, condition number one is al-ilm. You must negate and then affirm. Condition number two is qabool. Condition number one is ilm. Condition number two is al-yaqeen. You need to bring in conviction. You need to bring in certainty that it is Allah who is the one and only God. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, if you have yaqeen, 99.999%, even that is not enough. Why? Because you have 0.0001% of doubt in your heart. It must be 100%, completely, that you have yaqeen that it is Allah who is the one and only God, one and only creator, one and only maker. He is the one who provides for us. He is the one who nourishes us. He is the curer. You need to bring all of these beliefs in your heart. So condition number two is al-yaqeen. Condition number three and four are very closely related. They are qabool and al-inqiyad. Qabool and al-inqiyad. Qabool is to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, to accept the commandments of Allah azza wa jal. The commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You accept them and you stay away from the prohibitions of Allah azza wa jal. Now you see how the kalima forms. This is completely a complete way of life that you and I, we need to follow. So condition number three is al-qabool. Condition number four is al-inqiyad, which means to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At times when you ask people, what is the meaning of Islam? The first thing that pops into their mind, peace. Islam means peace. In reality, Islam does not mean peace. That is a very much secondary meaning to Islam. The primary meaning of Islam, please get it right, is submission. The primary meaning of Islam is submission. In other words, submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is a Muslim? A Muslim is the one who submits to the will of Allah azza wa jal. Certain scholars, they explain that the whole idea is the minute you submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will attain peace inshallah ta'ala. That is a completely different story. But the primary meaning of Islam is submission. So the fourth condition is al-inqiyad, where you submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just to show you all how important these conditions are, let me give you a prime example of an individual who fulfilled the first two conditions but failed in the second two conditions. He is the oldest individual living on the face of this earth. He is the oldest individual. Now don't think of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was the first human being. He is our father, alayhi salatu wasalam, but he passed away. He has passed away. The individual I am talking about is still living. Is still living. And he is the oldest individual. And he has been there even before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. His name was Azazil. His name was Azazil. Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions his story in his book, in his famous book Al-Bidayah wa Al-Nihaya. His name was Azazil. And this story took place many, many moons ago. Thousands and thousands of years ago before mankind was created. There was another species, there was another race that populated planet Earth. And they were the Jinnah. They were the Jinnah. They started to cause so much of mischief, so much of corruption, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to send down an army of angels to contain them. To contain them. This army came down and chased the Jinnah away to far away remote islands. There was one individual, his name was Azazil. He was taken up. And he started to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that he became a great worshipper of Allah Azza wa Jal. Until the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proclaimed to the malaika, to the angels, that I am going to create Adam alayhi salatu wasalam.
وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا.
And remember, when your Lord said to the angels, indeed I am going to place a vicegerent on earth. Immediately the angels replied,
قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَانِ.
Ya Allah, are you going to place a creation that is going to cause corruption, that is going to shed blood on earth? Now a question can arise. How did the angels know about this? How did the angels know that we are going to cause corruption, that we are going to shed blood? They don't know matters of the unseen. Well, the answer to that, my dear brothers in Islam, is because of their bitter experience with the Jinnat. They had already dealt with the Jinnat. The Jinnat caused so much of problems, so much of mischief and corruption. They thought, now this new creation will do the same thing. And then they went on to say,
وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ.
Ya Allah, we are there. We will glorify you. We will exalt you. We will worship you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He closed the matter by saying, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. Indeed, I know that which you all do not know. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our father, Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. After creating Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, now the commandment comes.
Wa idh qulna lil malaikati isjudu li Adam.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now what type of a sajda was that? It wasn't a sajda of ibadah. No, that is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was just a gesture of respect. It was a sign of respect and it was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the angels, and Azazil was also with them, even though he is not from the angels, he is from the Jinnat. In another ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Kana min al-jinn. He was from the Jinnat, he is not from the angels. Like certain religions, they have this belief that the devil himself was a fallen angel. The devil himself was a fallen angel. They say this because to highlight that every individual, no one is born evil. Everybody has a good nature. Everybody is good. Circumstances and things that are around them make them evil. And to support that, they say that even the devil was a fallen angel. But he is not from the angels. He is from the Jinnat, as Allah Azza wa Jal states. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels and Azazil to make sajda.
فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ.
All of them, they made sajda. All of them immediately fell down in sajda, except for Iblis.
Aba wa istakbara wa kana min al-kafirin.
He refused. Aba. Wastakbar. And he became proud. He became arrogant. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And he became from the kuffar, from the ones who rejected the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now look at the example. What did we say? He went up and he started to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has ilm. He knows that it is Allah alone. He knows that Allah is the one and only God. He has yaqeen. He has conviction. But he failed in terms of the next two conditions. Qabool and inqiyad. He failed to accept the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He failed to submit to the command of Allah azza wa jal. He said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينٍ. Ya Allah, you created me out of fire and him from an inferior substance, from clay. I am better than him. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. I am better than him. He became proud and he refused to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can see, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, at times people fulfill certain conditions and fail in other conditions. So we need to fulfill all of the conditions if you wish to enter Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of Jannah. So four conditions done. The fifth condition is as-sidq, truthfulness. Now what do we mean by truthfulness? It is to be true to yourself. You can have ilm, you can have yaqeen, you can have qabool and inqiyad, but you can still fail in terms of sidr. Let me give you a prime example. The munafiqoon at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And from the people, from the masses, there were those who said, آمَنَّا, we believe بِاللَّهِ, in Allah, وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, we believe in the last day. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, but they are not from the believers. يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا. They are trying to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are trying to deceive the believers. وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون. But they are not deceiving anybody except for themselves. Why? Because they were not true to themselves. Allahu Akbar. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They submitted to the will of Allah. They used to pray in the first row with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But then they had a different agenda inside. They had a different plan. They had different motives. They wanted the destruction of the Muslims. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So they were not true to themselves. So condition number 5 is that we need to be true to ourselves. As-sidq. Condition number 6 is al-ikhlas, sincerity. Whatever we do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why have you all come to the masjid? It's Friday, you can be at work, you needn't come, you can be at home. Why do we come to the masjid? Why do we come for Salatul Fajr? Why do we come to pray? Why do we read the Quran? Why do we give out sadaqah? Why do we pay out zakah? Why? We are doing all of this. We're striving so hard to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to enter Jannah through that. So for that, we must not contaminate our good deeds by losing sincerity. And for that, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, we need to keep gauging our intentions and rectifying our intentions throughout the deed. At times we are involved in big projects, charitable projects, da'wah activities. Initially, our intention is good. We're doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But gradually down the line, the devil, he is cunning. Like I said, he is the oldest individual. So just imagine how much of experience the devil has. He has so much of experience. He has dealt with generations and generations of mankind. According to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَجْرِي فِي مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. He runs in our blood. He studies each and every one of us. He knows What are your weak points? What are your weak spots? And he tailor makes traps for you in such a way. So we need to be even more clever. We need to be able to identify the traps of the devil and avoid the traps of the devil. We must not fall prey to the traps of the devil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So at times he comes and contaminates our intentions whilst we are in a big project. Initially we started off lillah, solely for the pleasure of Allah. And then he comes in and brings in fame, brings in power, brings in wealth, brings in authority. Oh, now you are so and so in the society. You are known to be a pious person. You are known to be a righteous person. If you don't make it for Salatul Dhuhr to the first row, if you don't make it for Jummah to the first row, people are going to look down. You need to be in the first row. So then this person makes a lot of effort and he comes to the masjid, but for the wrong purposes, for the wrong intention. Thereby, that deed will be thrown back at you on your face like a dirty rag. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all and fill our a'mal with ikhlas, with sincerity. Ameen. Whatever we do solely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The final condition, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let me run through the conditions again, just in case you may have missed a few. Number one, ilm. Number two, yaqeen. Number three, qabool. Number four, al-inqiyad. Number five, al-sidq. Number six, al-ikhlas. And the final condition, al-mahabbah, translated as love. Now what type of love? The love of Allah and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now comes about a very important concept, al-wala wal-bara. It is a very important concept in aqeedah that many of us, we are not aware of. Allahu Akbar. Al-wala is to show loyalty. Al-bara, disownment. In other words, we need to be loyal to Allah Azza wa Jal and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to love what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves. We need to be bari. We need to be free from that which displeases Allah, that which Allah Azza wa Jal dislikes, and that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dislikes. We need to give priority to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. He sallallahu alayhi, Allah Azza wa Jal states in the Noble Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, if you love Allah, then follow me. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will love you, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you of your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. I said this the other day too when I was conducting a nikah ceremony, I think last week. The week before that I was in Tokyo, in Japan. The culture there is amazing. When you go there, you'll notice that the Japanese, they are people with a very good nature, good conduct. And what's really admirable of them is that they never ever let go of their culture. They are proud of their culture. And they take pride in displaying their culture. Wherever you go in Japan, you must eat with the chopsticks. You must eat with the chopsticks. I got a thumb ache trying to eat with the chopsticks. Wherever you go. But we, on the other hand, we have embraced the culture of the Westerners where we eat with the fork and spoon. There's no harm. But you know, according to fine dining etiquettes, you're supposed to hold the fork with your left hand and eat with your left hand. Fine dining etiquette. For example, if you were to hold the fork with your right hand, they'll look down upon you. They'll think, okay, he's not a classy person. He's not a person, he's not a refined individual. He's not an educated individual. He does not know how to fine dine. Fine dine, you hold the knife with your right hand and the fork with your left hand. So you cut and you eat with your left hand. we are ready to ditch the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a mere fine dining etiquette that the Westerners introduced. But on the other hand, when you look at the Japanese, because they took so much of pride in their chopsticks, now eating with the chopsticks is a fad, is a style. When you go to Japan, everybody eats with the chopsticks. But we, on the other hand, we have ditched the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At times we feel embarrassed to lick our fingers. At times we feel embarrassed to dress like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We are embarrassed to grow the beard like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because we are embarrassed to portray the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He sallallahu alayhi wasalam is reported to have said, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab." Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. On the day of Qiyamah, you will be with the individual you love. If you were following a certain athlete, a certain sportsman, a certain celebrity, a certain actor or actress, on the day of Qiyamah, you will be resurrected with that individual. On that day, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, when every nation will go from prophet to prophet, intercede on behalf of us, intercede on behalf of us. Every prophet will say, "Nafsi, Nafsi, go to the other prophet, go to the other prophet." Until we are sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, "Yes, I will intercede," and he will go and fall down in sajda in front of Allah. On that day, when you and I will be stark naked, we won't even be bothered. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Our children, our wealth will not benefit us. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. That day when an individual will run away from his brother, from his parents, from his beloved wife, from his children. On that day, do you want to be resurrected with a certain celebrity, with a certain actor, with a certain athlete? Or do you want to be resurrected with our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If you want to be resurrected with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, you must embrace the lifestyle, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me reiterate, there is no harm in eating with the fork and spoon. All I wish to highlight, because certain people do, there is no harm. There is no harm. But avoid eating with your left hand, because the sunnah is to eat with your right hand. The sunnah is to eat with your right hand. Eat with your right hand. And all other matters, follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us perfect believers, and may He help us to follow the sunnah of our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wholeheartedly. And may He forgive our sins, and may He accept our good deeds. And just as how He united us here this afternoon, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wa, yani alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.